CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. An update on yesterday's Grand Blanc, Michigan church shooting. Police saying five people were killed, including the shooter, and eight injured. Investigators saying the suspect rammed his vehicle into the church, then started shooting with a high-powered rifle. Afterwards, he set the building on fire. Grand Blanc Township Police Department Chief William Rennie.
Grand Blanc Township police officers, the community of Grand Blanc Township, we're hurting. And we know that you are hurting as well with us.
The death certificate for Celeste Rivas, the 15-year-old girl found dead in singer David's Tesla earlier this month, reveals she was not pregnant at the time of her death, nor was she pregnant in the last year. Her cause of death is still listed as deferred while the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner works to determine cause and manner of death. Sources tell ABC News they'll rely on lab tests and toxicology. Until then, it remains a death investigation and not a homicide investigation. This is ABC News. The man accused of killing Charlie Kirk made a virtual appearance in Utah County Court today.
With Tyler Robinson listening in remotely from the Utah County Jail, the judge said he wanted to lay down some ground rules that Robinson is presumed innocent and his constitutional rights will be protected, as will the rights of the victims. The judge making it clear that court hearings and the trial will be open for the public to hear.
These proceedings will be open to the public, conducted in accordance with the law, and handled with diligence and competence.
Robinson's attorney said she needs more time to go through huge amounts of evidence and witness statements before moving forward. Robinson's next court date was set for October 30th. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The CEO of Walmart says the majority of the company's 2 million jobs will change as generative artificial intelligence becomes more prominent. A recent MIT study found most business programs fail to increase revenue or save costs. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
The Brewers cruise into the postseason. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers finished the regular season with 97 wins after beating the Reds 4-2 Sunday. Next, the Brewers wait to find out if they'll host the Cubs or the Padres in the divisional round on Saturday. NFL, Sunday Night Football, Packers and Cowboys. The game going into overtime and ending in a 40-40 tie. Jordan Love on the final play to Emmanuel Wilson that fell short of a touchdown, and they had to settle for a field goal.
We tried running a double move, and their defense, they were playing pretty soft. We didn't get the look we wanted. Threw it to E. Was hoping we could, make somebody miss, and, we didn't.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
You don't play the game for ties. When you don't get that, it's a weird feeling.
NBA, the Bucks held their media day in Milwaukee, but Giannis Antetokounmpo was not there. He's grounded in Greece, where he's tested positive for COVID. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The president has tons of critics in or out of the entertainment business, but none have been as harsh as Bruce Springsteen. The boss has written about blue-collar America for most of his career and professed his love for his country in a recent interview with Time magazine. Springsteen hit the president pretty hard during his tour last spring. The boss does not seem intimidated, even though the president has him by 3 years, about 150 pounds, and is beating him in bankruptcies, 6-0. Not to mention he is also leading when it comes to telling someone not to certify election results. Be that as it may, the boss has a lot more kick-butt tunes. All the president could come up with in response to Springsteen's harsh criticism was, "He's dumb as a rock." This from the guy who can't pronounce acetaminophen. In the interview with Time, Springsteen probably realized he couldn't match wits and just said he couldn't care less what the president thinks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stretch of dry and unseasonably mild temps are ahead. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the low 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, a high close to 80. More sunshine through the rest of the week, temps climb through the 80s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Todd Alba.
Federal government shutdown looms, healthcare in danger. We'll discuss it with Sean Fettaplace of the Main Street Action Alliance. Also, Alex Bedorsky is in talking about Knowles Nelson Conservancy.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I just got a jam-packed, I have to sneeze here for a second here. Wow. Good thing for that sneeze button. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have Executive Director of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Ruth Anna Buffalo, on today. And also Bob Blake. I always like to say Bob Blake from Red Lake. But Bob Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News and Sports. We're going to talk about some of the things that happened here sports-wise this last weekend. And just recently, the Twins manager was fired today, just a little bit before we got on. Before I get Ruth on, I just want to mention a quick thing here that the Pentagon wants to preserve the Wounded Knee Medals of Honor. And that's under Pete Hegseth, Minnesota, born and raised, and a former Fox News contributor. And a former person in the military, but has no idea what he's doing. So, again, it was a slaughter in 1890 of our relatives, a Wounded Knee Massacre, and they're going to give them back their medals that were revoked. And a lot of Native leaders are upset about this, and I'm not a Native leader, but I am too. That's one of the things that's going on here news-wise. And why don't I get Ruth Anna on here right now and talk about some positive things. Ruth Anna, welcome as always to Native Roots Radio. Great to see you.
Hi, thank you. Can you see me and hear me? Sorry, I got a bad voice today.
Oh, no. Yes, I can hear you. You look really good. The lighting's perfect. The voice is a little different. I'm not sure if it's you or not, but we'll pretend it is.
I suppose it's just a combination of allergies and
things going around, I heard. And if you've been listening to the show for the last week or so, it sounds like I have a cold, because I do. And it's lasted a long time here. Ruth Anna, welcome as always. I want to mention something that's been near and dear to your heart for many years too. It's a National Day of Remembrance for U.S. Indian boarding school survivors, and we know that this is the Orange Shirt Day, and it's really big for us. And in the past half a dozen years, there's been a lot more talked about this, which is really good.
Yes, for sure. I think the more we have these conversations, the better, and it's always good to raise awareness and education to others outside of the Native community that aren't familiar. But yes, having served on the board of directors for NABS, or National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition, for 6 years, definitely was deeply immersed in the topic and the pain, the struggle, and the need for healing. So feel a little bit lighter being off the board. Just kidding.
Yeah,
because no. It is, you know, it's constant heaviness. I mean, you're, you know, it hits home for all of us. And yeah, you revisit those stories and harms that your family experienced. And it's always heartbreaking to know and learn of, like my mom, she was sent away to boarding school at 5 years old. And I say that, you know, just to share, but not for that knowledge to be weaponized against myself or my family, because there's a lot of good things happening today. Like, we are still here, and we're doing a lot of groundwork to a lot of behind the scenes work, I guess you can say, and like making sure we're healing from past traumas. And so it's, yeah, always good to acknowledge and continue to move forward.
Absolutely. Speaking of continuing to move forward, I know at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, we can switch gears, and there's a lot of really good things happening there. And let's talk a little bit about that. And maybe what you could do too is just talk a little bit about the history before we get on what's happening this week and the exciting news that happens at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I know it's been 40 years around, and I ran into a former executive director, Patina Park, at the 50th anniversary of the Indian Center in Minneapolis, and it was fun talking to her and just taking notes of all the great work that you and past directors have done.
Yes. Thank you. It's definitely huge footsteps to follow. And we definitely take the responsibility very serious. You know, we definitely do not take this role or this responsibility or this point in time lightly, for what we are tasked with. And so super thankful for our founders of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, who had the strength and courage to come together 40 years ago and find ways to help our communities not only survive, but thrive. And so, unfortunately, we're still kind of seeing some of those same nuances or some of those same struggles today, but hoping that we'll find long-term solutions. And I believe, though, things have gotten better over time. It's just different, struggles that we face today. We have a huge unsheltered issue and opioid issue. And so would have liked to participated in like the 50th anniversary of the Indian Center or other doings, but we've been really deeply immersed on the ground here and serving the community to the best of our ability, and keeping our doors open and trying to find solutions in real time for the unsheltered relatives, but also not forgetting about the entire population as well that may not be unsheltered at this time or may be on the cusp of potentially becoming unsheltered. So a lot of new changes are happening, but nothing new to a population that is very resilient and strong and encouraging and prayerful people. So.
Wow, really, really, really good points. You know, we are the resistance experts, Ruth Anna, and I appreciate you bringing that up. One of the things, too, Patina Park brought up, too, is that she was really excited about the things that are happening. I believe you're at the office, so above you, the new units and how that's taking place right now. Really exciting and positive news for our relatives that you guys serve.
Yes, we recently opened the Oshki Gakia Gakia units upstairs, which means new path or new beginning. And so we're super thankful for Patina's work and everyone who came together. I believe since 2019, the plans for upstairs began, and it's been quite the process. And so we're super thankful to be here to continue moving their good work forward. But yes, we have moved from 14 2-3 bedroom units to 24 single units, and definitely listen to the community's concerns and feedback. And we know there was questions as to why we moved from 14 2-3 bedroom family units, but it's to 24 single units. We have a lot of single outward facing people, but who are moms and dads working to get to a place of stability to be reunited with their children. So it is a stepping stone for many of our families, and we're super thankful to be in this position to help the community.
Wow, great words. Hey, we're here with Ruth Anna Buffalo, Executive Director of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Minneapolis, and she's got a little cold going on here. People listening on the radio, it definitely is Ruth Anna Buffalo. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Greg Bakken here. Like you, I love good, fresh, delicious food. But I want to tell you about this treasure in Roseville called Maverick's Real Roast Beef. Maverick's has the best roast beef sandwiches I've ever had, made fresh every order. Add fries or onion rings dropped in the fryer when ordered, and you have a winning combination. Maverick's Real Roast Beef has a lot more than roast beef, so check out their website, mavericksbeef.com, or check out the restaurant on Lexington in Roseville.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, Executive Director of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. Just the great work that your organization does. And we were talking a little bit about the past workers that have been there and how great they've set some really good things up. And I really liked your explanation, too, about why this is so important that you've changed the size of these units. It's awesome news. And you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a great team here, and with a lot of big hearts, and, you know, we're trying to support the community the best we can and always making adjustments and improvements along the way and open to suggestions for sure. I believe we got a community meeting that will be scheduled and posted as soon as we get that date finalized. There will also be a grand opening for the new tenant units, Oshki Gakia, which means new beginnings or new path. And I believe that date is set for November 13th between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. And then we have our art market, fall art market, this Friday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And my mom is going to be here, and she'll have a booth set up. So we're looking forward to her participating in her first market with us. So.
Wow, very cool. And a possible cakewalk that day, maybe. No.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we can see maybe improvised out front on the sidewalk out there.
Yeah. And bring some chalk and help you out with that. Hey, what else is going on? I know, again, the great work that you do, and I just love that you can come on and amplify what's happening at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. And I know people that listen to the show all across the country are really interested. And probably you get a lot of people reaching out to you too and mirroring what your great organization does.
Yes, we're definitely dialing in more on the resource side of things. We're going to start transporting individuals who sign up to St. Paul this Friday for the career building sessions that are going to be hosted by the American Indian Family Center. And then we're hoping to build off of existing partnerships here with Minnesota Fund and Dakota Institute on getting something held in-house here. We have our weekly Tuesday Resource Connect, where service providers are on site and individuals can get connected to housing, treatment, and mental health services. We have our existing partnership with Minnow Bee Clinic with Red Lake Nation. And we're also going to be doing some more crafting and evening sessions with singing. And in October, we will be welcoming two new staff members in the recovery capacity through AmeriCorps. We'll have a recovery navigator and a recovery services coordinator. And then we just hired a tenant case manager, and we will be hiring a tenant services coordinator. And then we're working in partnership with Shelter Corps as our third party management group for the Oshki Gakia tenant units.
You're getting really good at saying that now during the show. It's awesome. Don't ask me to say it, Ruth Anna. You know how I am. I can't even pronounce English names, let alone our native names. Well, that's exciting. So, the things that happen there, and I really, you guys always, the word isn't sell out, but you guys always fill up when you're doing your art. I know that I'm waiting for the days that you can show us how to make moccasins and maybe some star quilts. I'll be down there.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. We just had a two-day all staff training called Walking in Balance from an individual from Oklahoma. It was a really good session. They gave us like a workbook and a training manual to accompany it. And we did a lot of crafting and listening to stories and sharing our stories too. So it was very engaging, but we definitely felt the need for more community crafting and storytelling, or just visiting, you know, because it's good. Yeah.
Well, last time I was down there, you were doing a ledger art. You had some artists showing the community how to do that. That was fabulous. I saw a few of those that came out. Some friends of mine that took that class, and it was amazing. Amazing that we have these leaders in our amongst us.
Yes, I agree. It was really heartwarming to see the room filled up with community members and fully engaged in the making of ledger art. We recently hosted a cradle making board session with Dr. Elena Eagleshield from Standing Rock and her husband. And so it was really good to have that same space filled up with cradle board making. And we will have another session coming up sometime soon. Not everybody was able to get into that session because I believe they capped it at 10 or 12, but we definitely listen and hear to all community input and feedback. And so we will be hosting another session. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to also getting the Sweat Lodge back up and running. now that construction is completed of the top two floors of Oshiki Gakia tenant units. So,
well, and it's so important to, well, one of the things I wanted to say is my nation, when we're making cradle boards, it's you have to be a little careful because if you and your partner don't have a baby, you may have one if you're making a cradle board. Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
So you have to be careful and really diligent at making those because there may be a surprise later on.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's great, too. And how important it is for our community to be able to sweat, you know, a woman sweat, a man sweat, how it is that we, it's so important for us to get closer to the Creator and those things. So that's exciting news. And that's another Twin City sweat that people can go to. That's great.
Yes, we're looking forward to it. And also hosting seasonal feasts and giveaways through our traditional healing practitioner, George Godley Jr. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to another session of Kids Night Out, I believe, this week, tomorrow, September 30th, 5 p.m., where Elder Donna LaChapelle will be on site, and she'll be explaining the different traditional medicines. Donna LaChapelle will be here at MIWRC twice a week to cleanse the building. And she's also elder in residence for our family services program department. So,
wow. It just must be great to show up to work and have all these committed people to our community and that work there, that also come there and help. I'm just so happy that we're able to amplify the great work that you and the people that work at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does. Again, I really want to put out there every time you get on, how can people find out more, and also how can people give to this great program that you have?
Yes, for sure. our website is miwrc.org, and there you'll find all the good information, career opportunities, how to donate, you know, and our event schedule. We also are in a partnership with U of M students with the School of Business, Carlson School of Business, where we met with them today on site over there. And they're taking our organization on and going to provide some guidance and proposals on how they can help us move forward. And so we're looking forward to that. And we also have support from Metro State's internship program there. But yeah, we're just super thankful for the founders, the, you know, previous CEOs, the board, previous boards, the community who is from here. And I respectfully always say that I'm a visitor here and I'm just here to help move the good work forward and be more behind the scenes and have our community members who are from here be more out front and be our spokespeople.
Well, that would be a great microphone drop right now at the end of the segment. But I just have to ask you one thing. Did you are you as angry as I am about the women's basketball team, the Lynx? Jeez, what the heck, these referees?
We watched it last night and I only saw the highlights from the previous game last night, but yeah, we watched the game last night and it was disappointing. And it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, good. You are a former politician and that was a great response. Thank you so much for being a Buffalo for coming on, even though you're not feeling well. I really, really, really appreciate you coming on when we need you and the great work that try to amplify the great work that you're doing.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. An update on yesterday's Grand Blanc, Michigan church shooting. Police saying five people were killed, including the shooter, and eight injured. Investigators saying the suspect rammed his vehicle into the church, then started shooting with a high-powered rifle. Afterwards, he set the building on fire.
Grand Blanc Township Police Department Chief William Rennie.
Grand Blanc Township police officers, the community of Grand Blanc Township, we're hurting. And we know that you are hurting as well with us.
The death certificate for Celeste Rivas, the 15-year-old girl found dead in singer David's Tesla earlier this month, reveals she was not pregnant at the time of her death, nor was she pregnant in the last year. Her cause of death is still listed as deferred while the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner works to determine cause and manner of death. Sources tell ABC News they'll rely on lab tests and toxicology. Until then, it remains a death investigation and not a homicide investigation. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 96.9 WBZH.
The Brewers cruise into the postseason. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers finished the regular season with 97 wins after beating the Reds 4-2 Sunday. Next, the Brewers wait to find out if they'll host the Cubs or the Padres in the divisional round on Saturday. NFL, Sunday Night Football, Packers and Cowboys. The game going into overtime and ending in a 40-40 tie. Jordan Love on the final play to Emmanuel Wilson that fell short of a touchdown, and they had to settle for a field goal.
We tried running a double move, and their defense, they were playing pretty soft. We didn't get the look we wanted. Threw it to E. Was hoping we could, you know, make somebody miss, and, you know, we didn't.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
You don't play the game for ties. When you don't get that, yeah, it's a weird feeling.
NBA, the Bucks held their media day in Milwaukee, but Giannis Antetokounmpo was not there. He's grounded in Greece, where he's tested positive for COVID. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's a new King of the Hill at the theater. A big-time director, an all-star cast, and excellent reviews could not keep one battle after another from the top spot at last week's box office. The Paul Thomas Anderson-directed film that stars Leo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Regina King, and Benicio del Toro opened at the top with $22 million and $48.5 million worldwide. It also set a record as the highest-grossing open of Paul Thomas Anderson's career. Last week's number one, Demon Slayer: Infinity Castle, dropped to number three this past weekend with a haul of $7.1 million at the gate. Coming in at number two was G-rated Gabby's Dollhouse, the movie, which brought in $13.7 million. The Conjuring Last Rites came in fourth place with just under $7 million this week. It's fifth in theaters. And finishing at number five was another new release, horror flick The Strangers Chapter 2, which finished at just under $6 million. Lots of good variety at the box office and more to come. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stretch of dry and unseasonably mild temps are ahead. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the low 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, a high close to 80. More sunshine through the rest of the week, temps climb through the 80s. Currently at 64 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer about the newest candidate for Wisconsin governor and Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital on the approaching government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. Before I get Bob Blake from Red Lake on, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Ernie Stevens Jr. Family. He passed away, and he had oversaw record-breaking growth in the tribal gaming. And he has been an activist, community activist, died suddenly at age 66. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Chairman Stevens. And it's a sad deal. And I just wanted to say that. We have Bob Blake on here, and we're going to talk about the Solar Bear with Solar News, and also Bob's reoccurring now the Solar Bear with the news and sports. So there's a lot going on here, a lot of sad things, but with sporting here, with the Vikings losing, the Lynx losing, and we are now have our looking for a new manager, and also the Packers tying. So we have to talk about our civic media affiliates too here, and the Brewers are in the playoffs, so that's good. But we got Solar Bear with Solar News, and here's Bob Blake to lead us off.
Yeah, Robert, if I could just also to offer my condolences to the Stevens family. Ernie, man, he was a good buddy of Bill's. Him and Bill were good friends. When Bill passed away, I mean, the Stevens family was there to offer support. And you know, Ernie III, my hearts are, my prayers are with you, bud. You're the best guy in the world, man. And I'm really sorry for your family's loss over there. So, yeah, I just want to be able to say that. Thanks, Robert. He did so much for gaming. You know, for Indian country as a whole, basketball player extraordinaire, just did a lot of good things for his people, man. So, really proud and really honored to have known, Ernie and his family, III. And I knew his son, you know, he was doing a documentary with Bill, and they were working together. So, just really good people all around, man.
Yeah, and he was the chairman of Oneida, correct?
Yep, Oneida, yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've had an opportunity to meet him a few times in the past 4 years working with my tribe, Ho-Chunk Nation. So I appreciate those good words, Bob, and it's always difficult. It sounds like it was sudden, and no one's ever prepared for this. So we got some things happening, and I want to have a conversation with you before we get into the sports on the last segment. You know, I mentioned earlier, too, that, you know, they want to change the National Day of Remembrance, or not change that, but the Wounded Knee medals going back, they were taken away for the medals of honor that were given out during the massacre of Wounded Knee, and now Pete Hegstead thinks they should get him back. So here we go.
Right? Here we go. Any way that we can cause division, right?
Yeah, and no doubt.
Cause turmoil in this country, this administration is going to do. So, you know, this isn't something that's a surprise, Robert, to be quite honest with you. I believe this is par for the course, as you would say, for the Trump administration and the Donald. So, you know, this was so long ago, and you know, it really is something that, you know, I think that any way that this administration can nitpick and just tug at everybody, they're going to do. So I would like everybody to continue to keep focused on what's important, and that is preparing for this next election to vote these guys out, and to be able to start organizing. Remember, I always think about what Malcolm X said, is that we're not outnumbered, we're just out organized, and that's the truth. And so let's make sure that we vote this next time around. And we get these guys, and we get our country back, because we deserve it. And so I think that's what's really got to happen. And And I think with, you know, with everything else that's happening there with, you know, let's just be honest, with Epstein and all this other stuff, I think they'll do everything they can to avoid what's clearly pointing them in the face.
Well, I didn't want to get too much into this, but I think we can talk about another mass shooting, another Republican, gun-loving Republican shooting and killing people now at a Mormon church this last Sunday. So the more it changes, the more it stays the same.
And once again, Robert, you know, I think it's these, you know, these bro podcasters, you know, who get on here and they can say anything they want. And they radicalize these individuals and, you know, they send them out like ticking time bombs out into the public. And right. they make them feel like they don't have a future. They make them feel like there is no hope for them. And so they turn to violence. They turn to what they think is going to give them some significance in their life, which is the wrong thing. And it's so sad that this is the place and the norm that we've come now to, that there's another mass shooting, another mass shooting, another mass shooting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would just like these individuals that are out there that are radicalizing these individuals to, you know, think about, you know, the greater good in society. But I mean, you know, they got their listeners, they got their people that listen to them, and they got their sponsors, the NRA and all these other folks that sponsor these programs. I mean, it's sad, Robert.
Yeah, well, and that's why it's great to have, one, have you on the show, two, that we are on civic media all over Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, and in the Twin Cities with AM 950, to be able to speak our truth, because I like to bring this up every once in a while that roughly nine companies own 95% of media. And so you just by saying that and us being on the air and on streaming on YouTube and Facebook and Blue Sky, that's, I appreciate you saying those words, because we have to talk and fight back.
Yeah. And I think more importantly, Robert, you know, we've got to be able to continue to say that there is a future. There is hope. Our kids are watching us right now, and the decisions that we're making, the moves that we're doing, they're watching us. And, you know, it's like in our community, Robert, you know, it's all about the next seven generations. So, you know, I would like everybody to remember that. And, you know, which brings me into the first story from the Solar Bear with the Solar News, Robert. And, you know, Carrier, the air conditioning people, you know, the HVAC people. Yeah. Well, guess what, Robert? They want to be able to put batteries now with their air conditioning systems, right? And here's what they want to do, Robert. They want to be able to offset usage from the grid onto these batteries, right, through these little computer systems. And this will be able to help with our grid capacity and be able to service customers, because I'm going to be honest with you, Robert, with these AI data centers coming online, they are going to suck a lot of juice, Robert. And so you know, I think this is a great idea, and I'm really happy to see Carrier thinking about this. And this is just another way and another tool for us to fight climate change.
Yeah. Well, and also the crypto buildings, too, are sucking out all of this energy. That's just unbelievably amazing what they're going to be doing here with our grid.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is really cool, and to see a lot of these technologies come place. And that's why I say this is a bump in the road, everyone. We're going to get through this. We're going to get back on track. But we are running out of time, Robert. And, you know, one of the things that is happening right now, too, is China is shifting to renewables quicker and faster than we thought they could. Mm-hmm. So seeing that China is moving in this direction at this speed is really good for the world and for for the rest of the countries, you know, that are seeing this happen. And so now remember, Robert, they use the most greenhouse gases. Yeah. So let's just keep this in perspective, everybody.
Right.
But the fact that they are investing in renewable energy is a really good sign that they're moving in the right direction and the rest of the world should take suit, because we see that them, you know, with renewable energy, that they want to be world leaders. We need to continue to keep our world leadership, and it's going to be through cheap energy.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, all these people over the years that you've talked about with roads becoming solar capable and things like that, that's still happening across the world. And it's just now we have the pause almost here in this country because of what's happening in the GOP and the Republicans.
So this is what I call the fossil fuel industry's death row, Robert. This is their last death row. This is kind of it after this. So I think they see the writing on the wall. I think that they know that things are going to change this next administration. And I'll tell you what, Robert, you know, we're going to go back to pushing renewables in this country, making the advances in technology that we need to. We're not going to kick out our smartest people again like we did in this administration. And so I want to be a part of, I already told you, Robert, you know what I'm thinking about. And I'm telling you, I want to be a part of that lead in this country. So.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Bob, before we only got a minute left in this segment, and I know we got to talk a lot of sports. I just want you to give an opportunity. I see you traveling all over the country and giving talks on solar energy and the benefits. Let people know where you're going to be next. And also, where were you last week? I saw that you were a keynote speaker, and I see these things popping up all the time. We don't talk enough about your work.
Oh yeah. Well, I was named as one of the Grist 50 fixers in the United States, and it was put together at the Clinton Global Initiative. Yeah, everyone, it's a nice little award. Very humble. Thank you so much. It was great. And then tomorrow I will be at the Fresh Energy Benefit Breakfast. I think we got about 800 or 900 attendees. So it's going to be a heck of a morning tomorrow. So really excited to speak and see everybody tomorrow.
Wow. Hey, we're here with Bob Blake, and that's the Solar Bear with the Solar News. And we really appreciate you and all the accomplishments and all the years you've been on Native Roots Radio. Up next, the Solar Bear with the Sports. Ho-wa! We'll be right back after this short break. Please, please stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
The Park Tavern in St. Louis Park is the perfect place for fun. Their bowling lanes are a blast. Their full menu is amazing. Burgers, tacos, wings, sliders, pizza, dinners, and more. Or try their weekend breakfast menu. Enjoy all the games on their numerous TVs while enjoying their drink menu and happy hour specials. And the patio is open to enjoy the warmer months. And even when it's not too warm, they've got heaters and curtains. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, your next get-together with friends or family will be great at the Park Tavern.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Bob Blake from Red Lake, the great Red Lake Nation here. And he's Solar Bear, the owner of Solar Bear, but it's Solar Bear with the sports. And let me start off, Bob, by just saying, well, the Gophers won Saturday. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, at least one of the Minnesota teams won this weekend.
Wow.
Hey, yeah. Robert, how about the Minnesota Twins?
Yeah.
I mean, they're Rocco Baldelli is out, buddy.
Yeah.
And I know you're always at the Twins. There's a Native Roots the trading post out there, isn't there? The store?
There was 2 years ago, yeah, when they were still winning. But yeah, their record's been really bad the last 2 years, and looked like last year they were going to make the playoffs, and they went like 12-30 the rest of the way and didn't make the playoffs. And this year they did the fire sale, so I don't know how much you can manage when you got the brass trading all your players away.
I was going to say, I don't know how you expect the manager to win if you traded everybody away.
Right.
So, you know, boy, I tell you, it's going to be interesting. I know the Poleds want to sell the franchise, Robert.
Well, they changed their mind a couple weeks ago, and they're not going to sell it now. And they're looking for investors, and it's like, okay, all right, what does that mean, and what the heck's going on here?
I mean, isn't that kind of still like a sale, though? I mean, you got investors come, you know what I mean? So yeah. I just kind of wonder, like, you know, are we going to get a winning team out there? You know what I mean? And are they going to make the investments that we need? So I wonder if Alex Rodriguez or, you know, some of these other guys might want to, like, put together an investment team to come take it over like they did the Timberwolves. But, you know, Robert, this has become a business. And I'm telling you, you know, I always say, you know, the NFL, right? $20 billion they made last year. And, you know, then we get we pay for the stadiums, the
teams.
The public tax dollars pay for their. So I think it's quite the racket these sports teams have, where they privatize the wealth but socialize the cost. You hear what I'm saying, though?
Well, not only that, Bob, but Major League, I think baseball too, but I know for sure football is a nonprofit organization. Those businesses are nonprofit, so they use all the leverage that nonprofits can do by writing things off. And I mean, when the poll, I'd say they're losing, you know, $40 million, that's just on paper. That's not real.
Yeah, really. No, that's for sure. And I tell you what, Robert, this whole industry is amazing in what it's doing. And then what they do is they threaten to take the team out of the state or whatever it is like that.
Right.
So then, of course, then we got to, like, come up with a new stadium or something. Anyways, I'm just saying that, you know, we here in Minnesota probably shouldn't support all these sports teams because we don't have the market to do it. But because we have so much money here, we're able to do it and afford it.
Right.
So, you know, anyways, that happened. And then the Minnesota Lynx were not out of the playoffs. The top seed, Robert.
The referees are crooked, and I'm not watching another game. I'm dead serious.
I mean, Nafisia Collier, she got taken out. The star of the team.
Yeah.
They picked up that Dejani Carrington, I believe her name was. The Carrington. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's incredible. She was out for the series. So, I mean, having some key players out, man, was really tough on the team.
Well, how can you get rid of the head coach for the last game and, you know, fine her? Usually other sports teams will go, okay, well, this person doesn't like refereeing and saying things and went crazy after the end of the game. Usually those suspensions start in the beginning of the next year, not the most important game of the year. So, again, I don't know if the WNBA knows what they're doing.
I really wish that they would have, you know, allowed Cheryl Reeve to, you know, at least coach out the team for the remainder of the series.
Yeah.
Give her a suspension on the next game or something. You know what I mean? Next right. series. But, yeah, that was a hard one to take. And then the Minnesota Vikings lost on Sunday. Once again, Aaron Rodgers pulls it out at the end, Robert.
I hate him. Can I say that on the air? I hate him.
And Robert, what is this 40-40 tie between the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers? I mean, I'm just saying, like, couldn't they, like, just let them play it out and just get a winner? I mean, why do we still have ties in NFL?
Well, first of all, I thought that the Packers had a great defense. How did they give up 40 points to the also-ran Cowboys? I don't know. They have a bye week this week, the Packers do, and hopefully they can figure it out. And again, you know, we want to give a shout-out to our Civic Media family in Wisconsin. But I hope they win the Vikings win two more games and they happen to be against the Packers. Oh, well.
Well, I think Josh Jacobs looked great in the game last night for the Packers.
Yeah.
Romeo Doubs had like 3 touchdowns, I believe. He had a monster evening. Micah Parsons, you know, he had that sack. I mean, I thought Dak Prescott was going to score that touchdown if Micah Parsons didn't get him. So I thought Micah Parsons made a great play at saving that touchdown for the Packers. So, I mean, I think all in all, Robert, they look great.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, you're at Dallas. I mean, Dak Prescott is just firing on all 4 cylinders. I mean,
new coach for Dallas now. So,
yep. It was a good game. Sunday night, you know how these like games are in the evening? They get up. I mean, so tonight we've got the Jets playing. and we've also got Broncos going tonight. So, you know, I think it's going to be – we got 2 games tonight on Monday night. The Jets are going to be playing the Miami Dolphins, and the Broncos are going to be playing the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals don't have Joe Burrow tonight.
So. Yes. I know. It's crazy. Well, hey, and back up, too, if we're going talking about other teams, the Chiefs won, and I still their highest score in many years here, and I still hate the – Well, I still like the fact that the networks don't show it, but they still do the tomahawk chop there, and you hear it in the background. So bad on those racists. Just want to throw.
Yeah, for real. I think it's time they move on. Honestly, and then Robert, we've got 2 undefeated teams left in the NFL:
Who's
the
that?
Buffalo Bills and Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh my gosh.
So we might have, you know, looking at who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Those are the 2 contenders right now. But it's going to be a tough call. Lamar Jackson, I saw, got hurt in that Chiefs and Ravens game.
Jeez.
He was probably up for one of the MVP spots. And how about Daniel Jones over at Indianapolis Colts and Sam Darnold out in Seattle?
Yeah.
Two Minnesota quarterbacks that are like probably neck and neck for the MVP right now. Who could have predicted that, Robert?
Oh my gosh! Well, that's just our luck again here in Minnesota as a sad sports fans here. Very sad.
Yeah, exactly. The Lynx were our saving grace, but well.
Look what they did to them. Hey, Bob Blake. Solar Bear with the news and sports. Thank you so much again for stopping in on Monday.
Yep, that was the Solar Bear with the solar news and sports.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:00, I'm joined by the executive director of Block, Angela Lang. We discuss the current state of the gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The peace plan for Gaza provides an outline for its future. It could mean the more than 2 million people living there would be under international control, not Israel's. The hostages would be released, Hamas would disarm, aid would come in, and there would be phased withdrawal of Israeli troops and reconstruction of Gaza could start. ABC's Mary Bruce.
Arab leaders are now welcoming this plan. French President Macron says Hamas has no choice but to accept it. But Hamas has yet to formally respond to this, but it does seem unlikely that they will accept this plan. It certainly falls far short of the full Israeli withdrawal that Hamas has been seeking.
Longtime couple Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban have split. The Oscar-winning actress and country singer have been married since 2006 and share two daughters together, ages 17 and 14. A source reportedly said Kidman did not want the separation and has been working to keep the family together. The pair have been reportedly living separately since the beginning of the summer. This is ABC News.
You're listening